Hello, and welcome to the Allen Family Show podcast. This is our second podcast, and today you've come to the gun show.
Yeah, we're talking about mental guns.
Mental guns.
Your mental muscles.
So I'm your host, Dr. Kim Allen, along with my co-host,
Chris Allen.
And we are the parents, the Allen parents, that are part of the Allen Family Show. And on this podcast today, we're going to talk about our guns, our muscles, our mental muscles, and our expertise. So we wanted to let our viewers know who we are, what we do, and what we know, and maybe a little bit about why you should keep listening to us.
Okay.
So why should I listen to you?
Why should you listen to me?
Yeah.
You shouldn't listen to me at all. You're the one. Yeah, I know why people should listen to you, because you have all the fancy credentials. So maybe you should talk about that first, and I'll talk about my my participation.
Oh, you oversell me, my darling. Well, my name, as I said, is Dr. Kim Allen, and my job is that I'm an associate professor where I work in the Department of Youth, Family, and Community Sciences. And in my role there, I am a psychologist by training, and my content areas happen to be parenting, family life coaching, relationships, and I do a little bit with technology, but I guarantee you I'm not the one to send technology questions to, because that is really not my area. So while I have the book learning and some of the practice of parenting, I will say that the smartest person I know, the smartest person in my whole world, is sitting right next to me, and that's you.
All right. Well, yeah, I do a lot of the technical stuff. I do most of the technical stuff. I'd like to also talk about technology and how it relates to the family. And because that's although people don't talk about it, it seems like, or there's a surface level of talk, I would like to, over the course of the cast that we do here into the future, I'd like to make sure we are incorporating why and how you can use technology to help you enhance, maybe even, you know, some of the negatives. But I also believe it's not all negative. I think it's all very, very positive. We're like I tell my kids all the time, and they now repeat it, which is good, is that we are living in the future. And we need to grasp that and embrace it, because it's not going to go away. There's no marching backwards. It will all be forwards.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. So as part of my work responsibilities, I sit on the board of the National Parenting Education Network. And that's a group of parenting professionals from all across the U.S. and abroad. And we have a listserv where we talk about the different issues that are of relevance to particular people at particular times. And this week, someone submitted some resources on teens and technology, in particular smartphones.
Wow. Now that's a very, very touchy subject.
Yeah. And so I think it's interesting. We have a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 18-year-old. Our 13-year-old and our 18-year-old both have smartphones. So what would you guess the consensus was of those making comments on the listserv? What do you think their opinions were?
I can only imagine a lot of them aren't necessarily positive. They probably feel as though their kids are on their smartphones too much, doing various things that maybe parents think are, you know, almost a too much of anything is not a good thing. Mentality. So that's kind of what I guess.
Ding, 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 ding. You got that right. So overall, the general consensus of that particular conversation was that smartphones are bad, and parents are kind of doing a bad thing by giving their kids smartphones, and particularly parents who don't give them boundaries and who maybe feel like they the children need more autonomy than they should have. So I thought that was really interesting, and I didn't see a dissenting view come across. I think there were maybe a dozen responses, and all of the responses were really about the importance of both the parents disconnecting from technology and the youth as well.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to note, too, is that I think what the deeper issue is myself with that this form of technology is that as the people who go out and purchase these things for our kids, which are the adults, and how we interact ourselves, you got to take into consideration that the smartphone technology that we use right now has only been really in existence for about 6 years. That means that, you know, nobody really has a grasp on what this is doing or how we're interacting with this. But as I mentioned before, it's the future. Just like you're driving a car, early on when you're driving, you don't have a lot of experience and you may encounter things like wrecks or you'll do other things where you just don't have experience. But as you get older, you start in using those mental muscles, you start gaining the ability to drive well and drive with some kind of expertise using those mental muscles. We as a civilization do not have the mental muscles yet to understand what this technology is doing to us. So we feel as though that if we all do it too much, we may be doing something of a bad thing. And I do agree to that to a certain degree, although I do also feel that these devices are remarkable. They allow even our children to be able to, at any given time, be able to get information on anything right in the palm of their hand. It gives us instant information also about our children. We know where they're at. We know what they're doing because of the...
By the way, our 13-year-old is on her smartphone.
Yes.
Right now.
Upstairs. But I can pinpoint her location where she's doing that. So, I mean, there are disadvantages and advantages. I just think that we have to be... we have to educate ourselves, but I do also think that just a blanket let's not give them anything or let's not do this is very much the wrong way to go, because it's here and it will never go away. These devices are perhaps the most significant personal tool that has ever. You know, really, I mean, I guess I'm really trying not to sound, over dramatic about it, but I really truly think that these are the most remarkable single devices that mankind has ever seen.
The ability, so how many hours a week would you say you spend on your phone?
All of them. I mean, really, really? I mean, it's kind of spooky, but I use it as my alarm clock. So the very first thing I touch in the morning is that phone.
How many hours do you think your daughter, your 13-year-old, should spend on hers each day?
How many? I know my whole family hates me for this kind of stuff, but I always say it depends. It depends on what she's using it for. You know, I find that she's being, our 13-year-old is being extremely creative with it. When she's being creative and engaged, I think it's like saying to a kid you're reading books too much. That's just crazy to me to think that, you know, a kid could read too much. Well, if this is a way that she's having a creative outlet, what is too much? What I do think is too much, though, is that when she's watching, you know, hours after hours after hours of TV shows, understand that's also, you know, you're getting an idea what other creative people do, but when you have too much of that, it causes anxiety, it causes... Well, what other things do you think it causes?
Oh, yeah. There is some research that links screen hours with things like obesity, mental health issues such as anxiety and depression, just general lethargy. It doesn't help with brain development. There are a lot of negative consequences of over screen time, for sure.
Sure.
It's been interesting this week watching her Instagram account. She has taken up a large interest in anime and has moved towards posting most of her content around the issue of anime. And in the past week, she's gained over 150 followers on her Instagram account, which I have to say is almost all the followers I have on my Twitter account.
Wow. That's a lot more than I have.
Yeah, she has about four times more on Instagram, and about a third of those have come just from this past week. So whatever she's doing, she's reaching an audience, and they have a strong interest in what she's doing.
Sure, sure.
But I agree with what you said. Too much of a thing, of anything, is maybe not a good thing. So in moderation and with boundaries. And that's one of the things we struggle with, is the boundaries. And that's one of the things we'll be talking about on our podcast, is how we can have boundaries with our own children, but also how we can talk about the importance of boundaries for youth and children in any circumstance.
Yeah, even parents. Themselves having a balance.
Yeah.
So speaking of too much of a good thing and trying to strike a balance, weren't we going to talk today about a particular tool that you have done in your program?
Yes, absolutely. So this is kind of fun. When I work with my coaching clients, one of the things that we have to do is we have to identify their strengths, and we need to identify their goals. And so that's the bulk of what I do in coaching. But one of the tools that I do to help them understand where some of the balance is a tool called Life Balance Wheel. Now, if you have an interest in Life Balance Wheel, you can just type that in, and there's many, many different resources right on the web, most of which are all very similar. Basically, the wheel has categories that are health, work, social, development, recreation, family, life planning, and spirituality. And what you have to do is you have to decide on a scale of 1 to 10 where you are in all of those categories. And then it's in the shape of a circle, so you identify your number, and it's a little grid, so you end up making sort of a circle. And if your circle is pretty round, then you're probably fairly balanced. However, most of us probably don't have a full balance. So this week, Chris and I did the Life Balance Wheel.
Yeah.
What'd you find out about yourself?
I looks like I'm pretty balanced, pretty round looking. Wheel.
What are your highs and your lows?
My highs are family, recreation, and development. Where I struggle with and I feel like I'm a little bit short on are the social and work, and some of health too.
So tell me more about what that all means.
Means to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what it means to me is that there are some things I need to work on, although the other things that I have that I do that I feel that are positive probably can help me achieve those maybe pretty easily. I also find, though, too, that as I would only imagine that age changes this wheel. I think there's certain things on here that I would be a little bit shocked about if I was a little bit younger, but as I get older, I'm not nearly so, such as the social stuff.
Yeah, and I think age, but also just circumstances, where you are in life. If we took this in a year from now, it might change.
Yeah, I think you can't have a perfectly circular 10 wheel, because that would be 10 for a score of 10 for every subject, because each side pulls on the other. The achievement of doing that, I can only imagine, is close to impossible. If you have a 10 at work, where you are just a superstar and everything is at, you're at high achievement levels, you're somewhere, something else is going to suffer for that.
Absolutely.
So you can't do it all, but if you can, you know, it's always a matter of trying to achieve that. And then over time, it could change. Another 10 years from now, when my girls are gone to college and they're starting their own lives and doing stuff, family is still important to me, but it's not going to nearly take up as much time. I can start devoting that to other things.
All right. So my results were that I'm actually very similar in that family is a 10 for me. Recreation is a 10 because I like to have fun. I like to have fun with my family. So those were really high. Development is also really high. I spend a lot of time reading and doing activities that help me grow as an individual and as a relationship person. So I felt like those were my really high. I'd say my lowest is health at a 5. So I had a 5 on health. And health really is about fitness, nutrition, stress reduction, medicine, healthy living, those kinds of things. So the coach in me would say, we need to focus on the strengths and we need to think about why the things that are the strengths are high, why those are high, and how can we replicate some of that to make the areas that are not so high, higher.
Okay. Well, I don't know if this, I got a question.
Yeah.
Is it important if you're doing a life balance wheel as a couple or as a even a group, as a whole family, is it important to be close to the same points on the wheel between each other, or does that matter?
It's an excellent question. Let me answer that question with a question. Mm-hmm. How might it look if someone, say, for example, one member of a couple has a super high health rating and one has a really low health rating?
Well, you wouldn't be able to do the same things the other person does. If one person is very healthy and likes going to the gym and the other person does not at all, and say that other person eats anything, an omnivore, and the person who's healthy is a vegetarian, I would think that their relationship would be strained.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Because what if you dig down in that a little bit more, it isn't so much the particular issue around health, it's the issue around compatibility. And how compatible is the couple if many of their content areas from this life will balance are on opposite ends of the spectrum? So really, when it comes down to happiness in relationships, compatibility is a really big part of that. That idea, opposites attract, that does not hold true for happy relationships. Happy relationships really are shared by those with very similar interests, similar goals, and shared meaningful activities. So the more a couple can do to have fun together on a shared life balance, I think that would be good. So I think it's good that ours is pretty similar.
Yeah.
I thought social was a little higher than you thought social was for you, and your health was a little higher than my health. But otherwise, we're fairly similar. Yeah. So go team.
Yay.
High five.
It is a totally out of whack.
It's not totally out of whack. We're in good shape.
So this is a vision tool. Now we have, as a person being coached or as a couple being coached, now we have vision.
Well, we definitely have self-awareness.
Yeah.
And some ideas of, you know, where our strengths are and how, and we could then talk about goals to move in other directions. So I think we're maybe not going to have time to go in that today, but that's something we could talk about next time. Okay. Is some of these life goals, because the year of 42 is coming up.
Oh yeah. Do you want to talk about your year of 42?
My year of 42 is about to come up. So I think you all need to stay tuned to hear more about the year of 42, because now it is time for us to talk about our evidence-based practice from last time. Do you remember what we talked about last time?
I don't.
We talked about the idea of positive discipline and finding our children doing something good and us commenting on that to see if we could get them to have more positive behaviors, if we notice the positive behaviors.
Sure.
So we talked about that last time, and we implemented that last time. How do you think that went?
I think it went pretty good. I actually did it today.
Tell me.
Well, you guys were, our youngest went out with Kim on a shopping trip, and my son Skylar was at work, so it was just Fiona and I, the 13-year-old, and I went in, and after I cleaned up the room in here, and she was in the living room, and I just told her how lucky I am to be her dad, and that I was proud of her, and just gave her a pat on the back, and then just smiled at her and told her I loved her, and then after that, She got up and she started straightening stuff up.
What?
Yeah.
Our kid?
Yeah, she just started straightening stuff up.
Wait, I have a question. Was she on her phone when you said that?
She was on my phone initially, yes.
On her phone?
On her phone.
Yeah.
But she was in the chair downstairs. I think she got tired of being alone upstairs. So she was just downstairs, and I just came out. I was I needed to go outside to do something. And then I noticed that she started cleaning some stuff up. So, you know, I just gave her a real quick, you know, you're doing really good. I love you, and I appreciate you doing, you know, hard work. And she produces hard work when you do that.
I would call that a success.
Yeah.
Another high five.
So it's just, it seems like it's just an easy thing to miss, not complimenting kids when they're doing something right. Because when they're doing something right, a lot of times we think that we just want to leave them alone. And that's, you know.
Hey, don't remind them. They might do something wrong. Yeah. They might do something bad.
Yeah.
Let's just leave them be. No, that's not how it works, though. You're right. We give them those positive reinforcements. Notice them doing something positive, and they'll do more positive. So that's fantastic.
And it's not instantaneous. It takes a little bit of time if you have not done it, but eventually, it's like giving gifts or providing volunteer work or donating money. It sounds like something at first that you don't want to do. You don't want to take the time to volunteer or take the time to give money. You know, or give gifts, but the moment you do that, it feels really, really good. And if you do that, you're basically giving yourself, you're being a, you know, giving somebody those idiosyncrasy credits, those you know, here's something that I'm giving to you to tell you that, hey, you're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they take that and then they make something out of that. Something of value gets created.
Awesome. So now we have to do a different parenting or relationship or technology or coaching practice so that we can come back next time and talk about how that went. So we've been talking quite a bit about our gun show and our mental muscles and really practicing our mental muscles. And so one of the things I think we've been talking about is being more creative, maybe watching less TV and doing something more creative. And we also know that one of the qualities of a healthy relationship is sharing quality time. So maybe I would like to throw out the challenge of us finding an activity this week where all of us, all of the family, does something creative together.
Oh yeah, let's do that. That sounds great.
Want to try that?
Yeah.
See how that goes?
Yeah, I always like the idea of, especially now that it's getting to be fall and it's going into winter. You know, you don't want to necessarily be outside. It's kind of an inside activity.
Yeah.
So it kind of just being able to, you know, maybe sit at the dining room table and draw, and some people sewing, just in, you know, ad hoc creativity or just in the same room.
Right. Well, challenge accepted then. We'll find a creative activity and we will see if we can report back how that felt and went.
All right.
Well, we're out of time for today. So my last question, the way we always like to end, is what's your suggestion for how to make the world a better place?
Oh, how to make a world a better place? I'm not quite sure. That was kind of a surprise.
Well, I will say, I think I said this last time, but I'll say it again. Just be really kind to people, even when you don't have to.
Oh, yeah. That's always a golden rule, is always a good one to pull, you know, to pull out and just be smile. Just smile. And
smile. That's a good one.
Just smile.
Ding!
All right.
All right, everyone, we hope you have a wonderful week. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Allen Family Show, podcast number 2, The Gun Show. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.